Thank you for another opportunity to stand behind this, your sacred desk. God, right now I need you to hide me behind the cross. God, I need you to speak through me on today that your people may hear a word from on high. Stand right now, God, as an empty cup before you, a full fountain. I need you to fill me up with your word. Put words in my mouth that will help to upbuild this your house. God, we pray right now that you would help me to decrease and that you would increase in me. And then God will ever give you the praise, ever give you the honor, and ever give you the glory for all the great things you've done. We ask it in Jesus' name. For our sake we pray. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I pray on this morning that you pray with me. God tries to share a message or a series of messages for the church.
Right.
Go with me to the book of Genesis. Chapter number 12. Genesis 12. And we will begin reading at verse number 4. And I only want to read this week verse 4 and 5. And he says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came." Amen?
Amen.
Grass withers, the flower will fade away, but the word of our God shall stand forevermore. This series is kind of deals with commitment. I want to know, first of all, how committed are you? Today's thought is going to come from, or the series theme will be, following the footsteps of Abram by faith. And today we're going to talk about Abram's, or the first part of Abram's commitment to a life of faith. First part. It's Abram's commitment to a life of faith. When we really trust the Lord as our Savior of our lives, we will soon discover from reading the Bible that Christian life, this Christian life, is a pilgrimage.
Right.
Traveling on a pilgrimage every day of our lives. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 11. And the Message Bible says, "Friend, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge in your ego at the expense of your soul." In other words, he says in 1 Peter, he said, don't think that right here on earth is where the final thing leads. Don't put all of your treasures here on earth. Don't be satisfied with what you have here on earth. He said, and don't indulge in your ego, because your ego will end up having you in hell.
Amen.
And lose your soul. Every one of us, that is saved is on a pilgrimage for the Lord this morning.
Amen.
We are on a journey that began the day we received the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart. And that will continue until we arrive in heaven.
Amen.
This pilgrimage is a time, at times, a wonderful thing. But then at other times, it's difficult at best. Yet all the time it is, we're in this pilgrimage that is to be lived out through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, for the next couple of Sundays, I want to spend some time with the first pilgrim. This man named Abraham was the first one to leave everything behind and walk for the Lord by faith. His pilgrimage was not easy. Though there were blessings along the way for Abraham, however, in his pilgrimage, Abraham set an example for all of us to follow this morning. He shows us how to live out our lives in absolute faith to the Lord and total commitment to the Lord. And I need you to journey with me as we look at Abram's life this morning, as we kind of give an example that he speaks to children of all ages. He teaches us a lesson this morning. Here in this text, what's the lesson, preacher? The commitment of a life of faith. There are three sides to Abraham's commitment. The first thing I want to deal with this morning is Abram's obedience. Abram's obedience. Now we got to understand it. Abram didn't just all of a sudden walk with the Lord.
No.
It took time. It took time for him to get to the state that he was in. It took time for him to be in fellowship. It took time for him to sit down and read the word or read the script or find out what it was that was in the word of God or what God wanted him to do. It took some time with God. And I got to tell you today that if we spend some time with God, baby, God will change your life and make you do things you wouldn't think you ever do. But when you spend time with God, God will then show you what he wants you to do. Yeah, you gotta take some time out with him. You gotta live with him. And then finally, once you do that, you'll find yourself moving closer and closer to God in obedience to him. What's this? 1 Samuel, chapter number 15, verse 22 through 23. And I read out the Message Bible because he says in the Message Bible, not doing what God tells you to do. What, let me back up. Let me go 22. 22. He says, then Samuel said, do you think all God wants are sacrifices? He's dealing with the Old Testament. He's telling Israel, do y'all think all God wants is sacrifices? Or empty rituals? You know, going to church. And just going to church to be going to church because that's what you've been doing since you was young. But you come here and look at your watch trying to hurry up and get out of here. And you come in here the same way you leave out of here. He's telling him, he doesn't want that. He wants you to listen to him. Which means when the word of God goes forth, he wants you to hear the word and not only hear it, but be a doer of the word as well. Listen to him.
Yeah.
Plain listening is the thing. Not staring and in lavish religious productions. Y'all know how we do it. Nowadays we give all of these big programs and that's all we're worried about. What's the next program? But what have you learned through the word of God to help you? You can have all the programs you want in the world and have all the programs and go to hell, but you don't have no Christ in your life. What have we done here at Bright Morning Star Baptist Church? Are you committed to listening to the word of God and doing what the word of God says? It's going to be tough, but y'all going to get it today. See, then he goes on. Samuel goes on. He says, not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around with crazy folk. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making a deal with dead ancestors. Because any deal you make with a dead ancestor can't be, you can't honor. See, that's what it is when you get self-important around God. Watch. Because you say no to God's commitment, command, he says no to your kingship.
Amen.
Because I said, I'm not going to do what you tell me, God. God will say, no, you can't come into hell. Watch this. If we're going to get where God is, if we're going to get where God has called for us to get, he says, first thing it must involve is, it must involve a separation.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the call of God had been for Abraham. And I know I'm saying Abraham because his name at this point has not been changed yet. His name here in the text is Abram, because God had not changed his name, but I'm going to use Abraham so you can understand what I'm talking about. So he tells Abram to separate himself from his relatives and to follow God by faith. He tells him that in the very first verse of chapter number 12. Abram was called upon to separate himself from everything that would hinder his progress and his walk by faith.
Yeah.
Watch this. The Lord called is the same for every member of Bright Morning Star Baptist Church and every child of God in the world today. Anything that prevents you from progressing as Jesus would desire is a weight in your life and it's got to go. Watch this. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 1 and verse 2 simply says, do you see what this means? And I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this because I want you to get it. Do you see what this means? All of these pioneers, he said, this great cloud of witnesses that are watching us, he said, all of these pioneers and veterans are cheering you on. It means we better get on with what the race that we have set before us. In other words, he said, you better start running the race. Look at all of the people, he says. Now when he tells him that, he's going back to chapter number 11 where he talks about all the patriarchs of the scripture. He tells him, he calls out names, Moses and all of those patriarchs. He said, look at all of them in heaven, in the grandstands of heaven, looking down on you, and you better get about doing your work. What do I have to do? First thing is, you got to strip down. If you want to start running this race for the Lord, you got to strip down. Lay aside every weight. And sin which so easily beset us. Now what? We say, and sin which so easily beset us. But the scripture says, and the sin. What you mean, preacher, the sin? You know, each one of us got a the sin. See that thing? that every time you get ready to do what's right, it pops up. That thing that keeps on bringing you back down into the ditch every time you think you done got over it, it pops up again. That's the sin I'm talking about. Yeah, he said, the sin. In other words, you gotta strip it off. Take it off. See, because if a runner is getting ready to run a race, what happens is he gotta take off clothes. He don't put on sweats. He puts on the lightest clothes and the lightest shoes so he can run in the race. So he tells him, you gotta strip down. And once you start taking all the load off, he said, then you can run. And he says, never quit. See, no great spiritual fat on you. I know I can't run a mile. I used to be able to. But before I got all of this in front of me, I was able to. Fat. Some of us got extra spiritual fat on us.
Amen.
No blood sucking sin. Those sins that are eating at us on a daily basis. No dependent sins. I can't make it because I'm depending on this, or I'm depending. He said that sin. Get away from it. Leave that stuff alone. No freeloading sin. That's the sin that you got on you. He said, all of that stuff has got to go.
Yeah.
To have a committed life. There must be, he simply said, there must be separation.
Yeah.
And once you have stripped down, the Hebrew writer says, what you got to do is, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
But we always ask the question, why, preacher, should I have to keep my eye on Jesus? Watch this. Because he both has begun and finished the race that you are trying to run.
Yes.
Too many of us in the church are looking at other folk running their race instead of looking at the race that Jesus won. We are running this nerve-wracking, and we can finish it if we put our faith and trust in God. How committed are you to stripping off some stuff that needs to be stripped off? Watch this. Look at Jesus, he says. Because the Hebrew writer goes on to say, he could put up with anything along the race. What you mean, preacher? What this means is that he took the shame of the cross.
Yeah.
Jesus went to the hill called Calvary, got on the cross. They put him on the cross. Now, it was a sin.
Yeah.
Or it was a disgrace.
Yeah.
It was a disgrace for a Jew to hang on the cross.
Yeah.
But Jesus took the shame.
Yeah.
And he was willing to take whatever that was needed so that he could save my life and yours.
Yeah.
Now, because Jesus was able to put up with it, and now there is a place of honor for him right alongside God himself. That's why you ought to look to Jesus. Because he is the one that has went through everything and anything that can go through, and he is the one that shows you if you finish the race, there's a high seat for you. There's a place in heaven for you. Now most, you got to separate. Most of the time, you are not going to be called upon to separate ties with your family as Abram was. However, if you decide to walk by faith, there will be times when your family will not be sympathetic to what you want done. Especially if they lost. See, in times like these, the will of the Lord must be given priority. Some of us want to do right. Some of us want to follow the will of God. Some of us want to do whatever we can to make bright morning start in the kingdom of God the best that it can be. But because my family doesn't want it, I slacken my commitment to God. Watch. Family members will cause some folks to go to hell. See, when God has given you a command and when God has directed you to where he wants you to go, baby, you got to separate from those that are holding you back. My mama, auntie, cousin, the man, Ray Ray's child, had a problem with the church. And so they stopped doing everything that they wanted to do for the church. And then all of a sudden, Riri's child, grandson, auntie, cousin came to the church. And because Riri and them wasn't giving anything, then guess what? I'm not giving anything either. I know it. I know it's tight. But I want you to get it today. See, it doesn't matter what the family history was. If God called you to do something, you got to do what the Lord has called you to do, regardless of what's going on. In other words, you got to separate yourself from your family to do the will that God has called you to do. See, because when you stand before the throne of God, he's not going to ask you what mama, daddy, sister, cousin, and all of them did. What are you going to ask you to do? What have you done to transfer the kingdom? The word of Jesus is kind of on this map. You look at Matthew 10:32-39. Watch this. Jesus says, stand up for me against the world's opinion, and I will stand up for you before my Father in heaven. If you turn tail and run, do you think I will cover you? Y'all got that? Jesus said, in other words, if I've given you something and I told you to take a stand on it and you don't take a stand on it and you turn tail and run because everybody else is running, he said, I'm not going to cover you. In other words, when you get in trouble and you get in that situation that you just can't handle, he said, I'm not going to cover you in that stuff. But he says in verse 34 of that verse in Matthew 10, he says, don't think I've come to make your life cozy. I come to make your life comfortable. He says, I come to cut. Yeah, he says, I come to cut. Watch, and then he goes on in 35, he says, and I come to make a sharp cut. I got a sharp knife. And I'm gonna make a sharp knife cut. He says, between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law, cut through these cozy domestic relationships and free you for God's purpose. Come and cut some stuff. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemy. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemy. Verse 37 says, if you prefer father or mother over me, he said, you don't even deserve me. He said, if you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. 38. me through the thick and the thin, you don't deserve me. That announce says, if your first concern is to look after yourself, you will never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look for me, you're going to find yourself and you're going to find me. That's what's wrong with some folk today. They're looking for who they are, but you got to look to Jesus. And when you look to Jesus, he'll show you who you are and he'll show you who he is. He simply says, what you have to do is you got to separate yourself. And secondly, in verse 5, he says, it involves substance. What you mean? Verse 5 tells us that Abraham left to follow the Lord. And he says in verse 5, if you're going to close your Bible, look at verse 5. Verse 5. He says in there, Lot his son and all of their substance. He is all of their substance. In other words, when the Lord got Abram, he got everything that Abram had. Abram didn't leave anything behind for the Lord to use. He left it. He gave it all to God and wouldn't let the world use anything. But he took all and went after God. You can gauge. Listen well to me. You can gauge the level of a person's commitment to the Lord by how much of the person's stuff that has been dedicated to the Lord. I know y'all gonna be quiet on that one. You can gauge the level of a person's relationship by how much that person's stuff can be used by the Lord. We get hung up on the time. And I believe a person out of time. But what do you do with the other 90%? It's just as important to the Lord as what you do with his 10%. You see, God doesn't just want his part. He wants your part too. He gives us what he wants to, because he wants to fulfill something. He gives it to us so that it can be used for his glory and for kingdom work. That's why some folk, period, listen well, that's why some folk don't ever have anything. Always walking around poor mouthing, they don't have. They peel off a dollar for the Lord and spend the rest of the 10 on themselves and the things of the world. And I came to tell you today, God will not bless that stuff. When he has you, he should have everything that you have. He can bless you in ways that you will never imagine. Amen. By the way to get is to give. Amen. I don't know where you saw that at, preacher. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. Give away your life and you will find life giving back to you. But not merely giving back, by giving back with bonuses and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the very is the way that generosity begats generosity. You wonder why I don't get you, my, my, my grandma would say, you can't get nothing with a closed fist. If you got a closed fist, there is nothing that you can get. But with an open hand, it flows out and more flows back in.
Amen.
In the book of Malachi, chapter number 3 and verse number 10, says, bring your full tithe to the temple of treasury so that there will be ample provisions, God says, in my temple.
Yeah.
If you test me in this thing, you're going to see that I'm going to open up heaven's windows for you.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
That's not the motive. I said that you, because you're not tired. That's not the reason I said that. It's a benefit, but it's not the reason. How much of your stuff does the Lord have? Or do you have your power and God's power? And if you do, I guarantee you that your power is bigger than God's power. If you do, you better be careful. Because he might just blow your power. And then you have nothing left for God. Watch this. In the book of Haggai, chapter number 1, verses 4 through 11, in the Message Bible, reads like this. He says, now the book of Haggai opens with Haggai saying to the king, Darius has been on the throne for 2.5 years and 6 months. And God sends a message to the people. Watch what he tells the people. It's time to build a temple. And he tells the people, he says, people are procrastinating. They say it's not the right time to rebuild God's temple. After that, God says some more to Haggai. And Haggai turns around and speaking to the people. In verse 4, he says, how is it that it is right, is the right time for you to live in a fine house while the house of God's temple is in ruin? And then a little later, God sends the angel of the armies. God of the angel of the armies spoke it out again. He says, take a good look, hard look at your life. Think it over. You have spent a lot of money, but you have nothing to show for it. I'm reading scripture. I'm not saying this on my own. I'm just putting it in the Message Bible so you can understand. He said, you have nothing to show for it. He said, you fill your plate, but it never fills up. You drink and you drink and you drink and you're still always thirsty.
Yeah.
You put on clothes, layers of clothes, and you still can't get warm. And the people who work for you, what are they getting out of you? Not much. Watch, I like he says, not much. A leaking, rusty, rust out bucket. That's what. Let me help you. Boy, I'm sweating. I don't know, but I feel good if y'all know. Watch, he said. He said this. He said, if you get a bucket that's rust out and you put holes in it, the more you put water in it, the more it leaks out your pocket. And guess what? God put some things in your life and you can't keep your hand on it because you got an empty leaking bucket. That's empty. And the more you put in it, the more. In verse 8 of that Haggai chapter 1, he says, then God says, here's what I want you to do. Climb the hill. Cut down some timber. Bring it down and rebuild the temple. Do you do it, he said, just for me? He says, honor me. Watch in verse 9. He says, you've had great ambitions for yourself. But nothing has become of your ambitions. The little you have brought to my temple have been blown away, and there's nothing left. Then he goes on. He says in verse 10, that's why, because of your strength, and so I've given you, watch this, dry summers and skimpy crops.
All right.
Now, if you're a farmer, you know what I'm talking about. Because you need some rain to fall on the crops and so that the crops can grow. God says, if you don't bless me, I'm going to dry up your summer. And whatever you try to get, he said, it's going to be skimpy because you're taking on me. God of mine. What you mean, preacher? I walked around last Sunday with an empty envelope. Dry summers are on the way. The Lord told me to bless the church, but I refused to bless the church by picking up something or lending my service. I'm sitting there with a brilliant mind. I can do some things. But I refuse to help the children of the church with what I know how to do. God says, I'm going to dry it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm almost done. I'm almost there. Watch, he says. Not only dry summers, but he's going to give you skimpy crops.
Yeah.
In other words, whatever comes out of the crop, it's going to be all messed up and you won't want to eat it yourself. He says in verse 11, I've met your tight, stiff hands by decreasing your seasons of drought. Dried up your fields and your hills, withered your gardens and your orchards. Your vegetables and your fruit. Nothing. He said nothing. Nothing. No man, no woman, no animal or crop is going to thrive because I dried it up. And he said, by the way, watch this. By the way, if this ain't scripture, I'm sharing this with you. By the way, if you got a problem with your tithes and offering, you don't have a problem with your tithes and offering. You got a problem with your heart. Good God of mine.
Yeah.
I got one more point. I'm going. Of course, this thing is bigger than just God wanting your money. He wants all of your stuff to be dedicated to him. He might want to use your house or your car. He just wants you to surrender everything to him. First of all, he says there got to be separation. Then he says, I need your substance. But then he turns around and he says, it involves surrender. The Bible tells us that Abraham did as the Lord spoke to him. Abraham learned early on the secrets of pleasing God is simply doing what the Lord say do. And do it to the letter. Even though the Lord called upon his life would be difficult for him. It was the only course of action that made sense. You see, if faith builds no barriers, it simply does what it is told and trusts God to take care of the rest. What you mean, preacher? As we progress on this pilgrim journey, the sooner you learn the lesson, the better. The only way to enjoy the Christian life to the fullest is to come to a place of total surrender, where your everything is on the altar of God. You might think you read the life of Abraham, that God wanted Abraham's stuff. But God didn't need Abraham's stuff.
Amen.
And he isn't interested in your stuff either.
Yeah.
All God ever wants from Abraham was Abraham.
Yeah.
And that's all God wants from us. Every man, every woman, every child, every boy, every girl in this place, all God wants is you. Because if he got you, he got your stuff.
Yeah.
And watch this. I can't even tell you. The question is, how committed are you though? How do you match up to the commitment that we read today? Are we committed enough to the Lord to separate ourselves, to give of our substance, and then to turn around and surrender our everything to him? If you're willing to do that, then guess what he said? I came to tell you today that it costs you. If you're going to be obedient to the Lord, it costs to be obedient. There's a story about what shows the cost. There was a young soldier who was a gunner from one of the countries, and there was a siege going on, and one of the lieutenants, as he was standing by his gun, came to him and told him, "Soldier," called him gunner, "do you see that bridge over there?" He said, "Do you see the little spot down on the ground by the bridge?" Say, "Yes, sir, I see it." He says, he turns pale in the face. He says, "Gunner, what I want you to do is I want you to aim and blow it up." He got even paler in his face. What he does was he aimed and he shot. And the general says, "Good shot." And all of a sudden, he turns around and there are tears running down his face. The general says, "Soldier, what's wrong with you?" He says, "Sir, that house, that was my house. And everything I owned was in it. It costs sometimes. If you're going to be obedient to the will of God, it's going to cost you sometimes. But you got to be willing to pay the cost, because God will give you the pay in the end." You know he's going to give you the pay, because I remember the boy wasn't old enough, wasn't he made, they needed somebody to go down and sacrifice their lives for sinful men and women. They needed somebody to be able to take up the cross and go down and give their lives. Abraham couldn't do it. Noah couldn't do it. Moses couldn't, because all of them had sin on their life. They needed somebody that was able to go and give their lives. And I heard from under the altar there was a cry. "Father, give me a body. I'll go down and I'll save sinful man." Took on the body. Came down through 42 generations. When God lived in tabernacle on this earth for 33 and a half years, I'm going to do it for him, God. There he is. Going through all of the beatings as they his body. Yeah. As he walked. And on the end of the whip there was steel and glass on the end. So every time they whipped him, it pulled flesh off of his body. Yeah. Not because of what he did, but because of what I did. Yeah. Of what I would do. He went to Calvary's cross. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. He was carrying the cross on his shoulder. As he walked, he fell down. They were beating him. He had been tried all night long before. And then here he is on Calvary. They stretched him out wide.
Yeah.
He didn't say a mumbling word. They allowed him to put nails in his hand. And watch, I like the way Frank Ray said it. He said, they didn't nail his hands. Because they knew something was with when there was power in the hand. So what they did was they nailed him right in the thick of the wrist. And as he was hanging on the cross, why didn't they nail his hand? Because they knew that his hands had raised dead folk. And his hand was able to heal the sick. And his hands were able to help those that were going through infirmity. I thank God. Floyd, can you see him now? No sin in his life. No nothing. But he's there for me and you. There he is hanging. They nailed his feet. Put a pierced spear in his side. Wearing a crown of thorns on his head. Going through it. As he's on the cross, what happens is he needs to get breath. So every now and then he has to lift himself up so he can breathe because his lungs are collapsed. Not for what he did, but for what I did in my life. That's why he went to Calvary. He paid the cost. Died on a hill called Calvary. Gave up the ghost. But early Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave and he said, all power is in my hand. He paid the cost for you and I. Why can't we pay the cost and commit ourselves to the house of God? I'm gone. Are you committed? How committed are you? And when you think about this back this week, are you willing to separate yourself? Are you willing to surrender and give God your substance? And if you're willing to do that, God says, I got a place for you. I got something great for you. But the question is, how committed? God bless you. There may be one today who's in this place. And you came and something was said or done here today that allowed you and you want to give God your life. Is there one today? Is there one that want to give your life to Christ? He stands with his arms wide open saying, come unto me all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Is there one today? Maybe you need to get your fellowship back together with God. He's calling today to say, come. Is there one? Not God bless you, God keep you.